This is the Saturday to Sunday Football Podcast.
This is where it all counts. This is why we're here. This is why each one of us are here.
And now, here's your host.
Welcome back to another edition of the Saturday to Sunday Football Podcast. And I am Paul Perticchese, and thank you for joining me. As always, the 2024 NFL Draft is in the books. Here at Saturday to Sunday, we continue to cover it wire to wire as we've been doing in the lead up to the NFL Draft and each and every day, recording podcasts, live tweeting throughout the event. Before we get started and recapping day three, big thank you for all the people, new followers, new listeners, people I interacted with over the last couple days on Twitter. I truly do enjoy that. If you purchased the premium notebooks, you saw the Saturday to Sunday premium projections notebook have arguably its best performance since we started Saturday to Sunday. In night one, round one, we accurately predicted 29 of the 32 prospects to come off the board at a 91% clip. In the top 100, we were 83 out of 100 for 83%. We tied for 11th in the huddle report competition. In our first time ever competing in that, we were only two off the top as well there. And then the hardest thing to do, trying to accurately predict every single player who will come off the board in an NFL draft, we were 224 out of 257 for an 87% hit rate. It is the best performance we've ever had trying to predict every single pick in the NFL draft in terms of how they would come off the board. So anybody, hopefully you enjoyed my coverage on Twitter. Hopefully you enjoyed the premium notebook. There'll be so much added in to the rankings notebook with detailed dynasty rookie rankings, eventual IDP rookie rankings, and then positional dynasty overall rankings as well. But let's get into this and jump in to recap in round four. I'm not going to go through every single pick in terms of like a full synopsis just because rounds four through seven, a lot to go through. But I am going to talk, you know, run through the names selected and then talk about some of the ones that really stood out. So we'll do it in like increments of maybe like 10 or so. So let's start at pick 101. The Carolina Panthers selected Jatavion Sanders out of Texas. The Broncos came up and selected Troy Franklin, wide receiver out of Oregon. The Patriots selected Laydon Robinson out of Texas A&M, the offensive guard. The Cardinals selected Dadrian Taylor-Demerson out of Texas Tech, the safety. Then the Chargers selected Justin Abuga out of Alabama, the defensive tackle. The Titans selected Cedric Gray out of North Carolina, the linebacker. The Giants select Penn State tight end Theo Johnson. The Vikings selected Kyrie Jackson out of Oregon, the cornerback. The Falcons selected Brandon Dorlus out of Oregon, the defensive lineman. And then the Patriots selected wide receiver out of UCF, Javon Baker. So a couple things that really stand out. I love the pick of Jatavion Sanders. This is a guy that I've been harping on. The pre-draft process had not been kind to him, but I love the play speed better than the time speed. I think he's a real weapon. To me, the whole pre-draft process screams of how Isaiah Likely struggled in the pre-draft process, but we knew he could get open. We knew he could be a receiving threat. And the minute he stepped foot on the preseason field, he started to deliver for the Ravens. And we have seen him be an impact player at times in the NFL, just not getting a lot of opportunity playing behind Mark Andrews. But I think Jatavion Sanders, the body control, the ball skills, his receiving abilities, the ability to attack the seam, I think he's going to be a real weapon there for Bryce Young. I love the aggressive trade-up by the Broncos to select wide receiver Troy Franklin. If he would have went in round two, nobody would have been surprised. I know he's got the slender frame, but the ability to win vertically, the athleticism, the speed, the footwork, and you pair him with his college quarterback, Bo Nix, I like the idea of having him and Marvin Mims hopefully developing there and being two future starting wide receivers for the Broncos. Thought that was a good move by them. The Patriots selecting Laydon Robinson. Bob McGinn's great draft article, he had him as a potential round three pick. So this was, I think, good value. A guy who's got ability to potentially start down the line. I think he's more of a power gap blocker. So I thought it was a good selection there by the Patriots. I love Dadrian Taylor-Demerson. The Cardinals got a new, like, honey badger type player, the versatility that he plays with. He's got cover skills. He's got really good athleticism and speed. I like the footwork and agility, really good recognition and ball skills as well. Linebacker, when the Titans at 106 took Cedric Gray. This was a guy who I thought a lot of people thought was maybe going to go in round three. So we're talking about a guy who's got high-level athleticism, can play sideline to sideline, really good college production, more of a weak side linebacker, going to play in all your sub-packages. I think the Titans got a future starter there. Next up, the Giants. I love Theo Johnson. This has been a guy I've been talking about a lot here at Saturday Sunday. Elite-level athleticism in terms of his RAS score, the way he tested at the combine. I think he's going to be a better college, better NFL pro than he was a college player in terms of upside, in terms of pass catching ability. He just wasn't asked to do it a lot. Penn State has another great tight end. It's going to be a first or second round pick next year. But I really thought Theo Johnson had a chance to go late round two, but if not, definitely round three. I mean, last year, Luke Schoonmaker and Brenton Strange went in round two. Theo Johnson's ceiling and upside, far superior to that. Most people had him in their overall big boards in that 70 to 85 range. I thought it was a fantastic pick by the Giants. I think Darren Waller's retiring. I think Theo Johnson and Daniel Bellinger will form the 1-2 duo, but I expect Theo Johnson to be the one that eventually rises to the crop there. Absolute home run pick for the Giants. I think we're talking about a guy who's going to be a future starting tight end for them. If we talk about Brandon Dorlus to the Falcons, I thought that was a really good pick because he was a guy who I thought could have been taken somewhere in the middle of round three. I know some people are a little bit concerned, you know, in terms of like what's his natural position because he's a little bit of a tweener. I think he's going to be a guy who can play five tech or be a power defensive end, kick inside in the sub packages. I think you can do a lot with Brandon Dorlus. And the Patriots selecting Javon Baker. Listen, we know Javon Baker, highly skilled. I believe he was a 4 or 5 star prospect. It didn't work out at Alabama. Ends up at UCF. I like the ball skills, the body control. He's got route running ability. He's got separation ability. There's a lot to like of his game. I know the Patriots in round two, you know, took Jalen Polk. I think Javon Baker's going to have an opportunity sooner rather than later to earn a significant role in that Patriots offense. So I thought it was a really good pick by the Patriots to continue to add and try to give Drake May some weapons. If we go through the next group of 10 that came off the board in the third round, I mean in the fourth round, at pick 111, the Packers took safety Evan Williams out of Oregon. At pick 112, the Raiders took Damarian Richardson out of Mississippi State, the corner. The Ravens at 113 took wide receiver out of North Carolina, Des Walker. At 14, the Jaguars selected Missouri offensive tackle Javon Foster. At 15, Iowa selected tight end Eric All out of Iowa. At 16, the Jaguars selected LSU defensive tackle Jordan Jefferson. At 117, the Colts selected Wisconsin center Tanner Bordellini. At 118, the Seahawks selected UTEP linebacker Tyrese Knight. At 119, the Steelers selected offensive guard out of South Dakota State Mason McCormick. And at pick 120, the Dolphins select running back Jalen Wright out of Tennessee. Some thoughts on a couple guys there that really stand out. Let's first start with, actually, I'm going to work, let's just go in order. Let's keep it consistent. The first guy I really want to talk about is the Ravens selecting Des Walker. Because we're talking about a guy who, not that long ago, if you look back in like one of Daniel Jeremiah's mock drafts or top 50 big boards, he was like in the 30 to 40 range. He was in the first round of one of his early mocks. He was in his top 25 or top 30 prospects. The pre-draft process, kind of, while he tested out well, there's some refinement and development needed for sure in Des Walker, but we're talking about a guy who's got starting outside X potential. He can get vertical. He's got ball skills. He's got body control. He can go up and get it. He could high point the football. There's route refinement and development needed, but there's a lot to like about Des Walker's game. I could see him emerging in a year or two to being a starting outside wide receiver, and him and Zay Flowers really forming a nice duo there for Lamar Jackson with obviously Mark Andrews inside, but really love the pick of Des Walker. Eric All is going to be the future starting tight end for the Bengals. If he didn't have the health concerns, we're talking about a guy who might have went round three. He could attack the seam. He's got ball skills. He's got athleticism. He's got length. I like this pick a lot. Obviously, they double dipped, and we'll talk about the other tight end they drafted later. But I'm intrigued by Eric All And does he get the opportunity sooner rather than later to maybe emerge into the starting tight end there? Let's see who else that we want to kind of talk about. Mason McCormick, the offensive guard that Steelers took. I think he's the prototypical interior lineman for the Steelers. I think he's got starter traits. I think he's best in a gap run scheme. I like the athleticism and movement skills that McCormick brings there to the Steelers. And then we got to talk about Jalen Wright. The Dolphins just continue to load up on speed. Jalen Wright was my number three running back on film. I think he's going to form a dynamic duo with Devin Achane. Anyone who's been a long-time listener knows how much I loved Devin Achane last year. But this has got a, he's got a three-down skill set. He's got great athleticism and speed. He's a home run threat every time he touches the ball. He's got agility and change of direction and cutting ability to make people miss. He's got a great jump cut, good play strength, very good receiving skills. There is a lot to like about Jalen Wright, and I'm excited to kind of see the usage. Now, it might not be off the gate because Raheem Mostert's coming off a literal career year and Achane, so it's going to take a little time. But when they move on from Raheem Mostert, I think it's going to be Jalen Wright who kind of steps in there, into the mix there to potentially be a major weapon in that offense. If we keep this going, I'm going to run through the rest of round four and then talk about a couple of the key picks that stood out. At pick 121, the Seahawks took A.J. Barner, to Michigan tight end. At pick 122, the Bears selected Iowa punter Torrey Taylor. At pick 123, the Texans selected Ohio State tight end Cade Stover. At pick 124, the 49ers selected Wake Forest safety Malik Mustafa. At pick 125, the Bucks selected Oregon running back Bucky Irving. At pick 126, the Lions selected offensive tackle out of British Columbia, Giovanni Manu. At pick 127, the Eagles selected Clemson running back Will Shipley. At pick 128, the Buffalo Bills selected Kentucky running back Ray Davis. At pick 129, the 49ers selected Louisville running back Isaac Arendo. At pick 130, the Ravens selected Iowa State cornerback TJ Tampa. At 131, the Chiefs selected TCU tight end Jared Wiley. At pick 132, the Lions selected Utah safety slash running back Sione Faki. At pick 133, the Chiefs selected Washington State safety Jaden Hicks. At pick 134, the Jets selected Wisconsin running back Braylon Allen. And at pick 135, the 49ers selected Arizona running back Jacob Cowing. There is a lot to dissect here at the end of round four. A lot of fantasy implications. Let's start back at pick 121, A.J. Barner. I think he's got a chance to be that prototypical number two tight end for the Seahawks. Very Will Disley-like player, so I think that's the role that Barner will play there. I really like Cade Stover. He's playing behind Dalton Schultz, so I think he's nothing more than like a tight end too. But I like his game. I think he's going to bring real-life value to that team and develop into their second tight end. If Dalton Schultz goes down, I think Cade Stover can step right in and be a functional piece in terms of passing and blocking and help out that Houston Texans offense. I like Malik Mustafa, the safety out of Wake Forest. He brings a lot to the table, athleticism, movement skills. He was a guy that if he would have came off the board in round three, I wouldn't have been surprised. 49ers continue to make good picks in terms of their secondary. I'm not a huge Bucky Irving fan, anyone who's been a listener of the show, but, you know, there's an opening there in that Tampa Bay, you know, Buccaneers back depth chart in terms of their running backs. Obviously, Rashad White's a starter there, but I think Bucky Irving can carve out a role with like a change of pace, pass catching running back. I know that's Rashad White's, you know, bread and butter as well. But Bucky Irving, quicker than fast, good footwork, short area quickness and agility, and a really good pass catcher. I think they're going to find a way to utilize that in tandem with what Rashad White brings to the table. You know, the Eagles, I'm going to talk about them a lot today because they had a fantastic day as usual, coming off their amazing night two as well. I'm a Will Shipley guy. He was my number seventh rated running back in this class. He's got a three down skill set. Obviously, with Saquon signing there, he's going to team up with him and be a part of that backfield. I mean, I know they have Kenneth Gainwell. I think they're maybe looking at, okay, Gainwell's contract might expire soon, and Will Shipley's going to be the guy that kind of takes that role over next. He's got, you know, that pass catching, you know, space player type upside that can do a lot of different things with Will Shipley. I really like the Ray Davis pick by the Bills because I think in a perfect role, James Cook is probably like a 13 or 14 catch player. And I think what we're going to see is that in this situation, Ray Davis can be the perfect complement to James Cook. Ray Davis, while he's a good pass catcher in his own right, he's a little bit more, even at his size, a little bit more of a smaller, tougher, physical player, great leg drive. So I think he could be a guy that could work in tandem very nicely with James Cook. I really like the landing spot there for Ray Davis. The 49ers pick of Isaac Arendo. He's a guy, obviously, came on too late. Liked him a lot. I think he was my eighth running back in the draft class. He's one of those guys that if he gets, you know, in that outside zone scheme that San Francisco plays, Arendo gets a seam, he could be off to the races. We're talking about a guy, great size, great frame, with like 4.33 speed. You know, add that to his play strength, you know, and his straight line burst and acceleration, Arendo could be a really interesting player there. I thought the Ravens stealing TJ Tampa at pick 130 was unbelievable. Mel Kiper had him as his 38th overall player. You know, I wasn't that high, but I thought round three for sure. So for the Ravens to get him at the end of round four, I thought it was fantastic value. A TCU, you know, tight end Jared Wiley, I think it's a great pick by the Chiefs. You know, Travis Kelce's getting up there, whether he plays one more year, whether he plays two more years. I think Jared Wiley could be the future starting tight end of the Kansas City Chiefs. That's how much I like his game. I like the pass catching ability. He can block. There's a lot to like about Jared Wiley's game in terms of the way he plays. So it's going to be interesting to kind of see. Obviously, he's going to be a bit player while Travis Kelce's there. But they like to use two tight ends sometimes and do different things. But I think Wiley's got a real chance. I think he's a very sneaky dynasty pick. If you can kind of just stash somebody for a little bit and kind of wait out Kelce retiring. But I think Wiley's got a lot of upside. It'd be interesting to see how the Lions use Sione Fake. They announced him, I believe, as a running back. You know, could he be a guy that eventually works his way in the mix there in a couple of years if they move on from David Montgomery and kind of work in tandem there with Jahmyr Gibbs? But I think he's going to be a kind of like a jack of all trades. I think they're going to use him in a variety of ways. So I'm not sure it's going to be a lot of fantasy value, but we'll see how the running component comes together with his game. But I love the player in terms of his versatility. Can bring a lot, and that attitude fits what the Lions love to have as well. Chiefs taking Jaden Hicks was one of the best value picks in the entire NFL draft. You know, he was Dan Brugler's number one safety. A lot of people thought he was going to go off the board in round two. So for him to be sitting there at the end of round four, I think he's going to develop into a starter, a flat out starter at the end of round four in that secondary. I think it was a great pick by the Chiefs. Both those picks, Jared Wiley and Jaden Hicks, late in round four. I don't understand the Braylon Allen pick by the Jets. They took running back, Israel Abakanda last year. Then the end of the fourth round, they take Braylon Allen. Later on, they take Isaiah Davis. I just don't understand it. You have, you know, Breece Hall, he's your bell cow. You invested, I think it was a fourth round pick in Abakanda last year. And now you take another guy in the fourth round, and then I think a guy in the sixth round. I just don't understand what the plan is for all those guys. I've never been a big Braylon Allen fan. I don't think he always plays up to his size, so I don't think he's like this short yardage, perfect complement. I don't think Breece Hall needs to come off the field in those short yardage situations or goal line situations. So I question the Braylon Allen pick a little bit. I know other people like him more than me. I love the Jacob Cowan pick. Now, obviously, right now, with Debo there, with Brandon Ayuk there, them drafting Ricky Purcell in round one, there's not much of a role for Jacob Cowan. But Debo or Ayuk, one of them is going to go, whether it's, you know, the middle of this year or most likely next offseason, because I can't see them trading one of them during the season when they're a legit Super Bowl contender. But I like Jacob Cowan's ceiling in terms of what he can bring as a prolific slot wide receiver there when they want to have three wides on the field. You know, Cowan is a guy, he's got great separation ability. He's got explosiveness. I love the route running. His ability to get in and out of breaks, the footwork, the agility to change direction, the yak ability. There's a lot to like about Jacob Cowan's game. If we take this now to round five, let me rattle off, the first 12 or so picks in round five. At pick 136, the Seahawks took Nehemiah Pritchard, the cornerback out of Auburn. At pick 137, the Chargers took Tarheeb Still out of Maryland, the corner. Pick 138, the Cardinals selected Xavier Thomas, the edge rusher out of Clemson. At pick 139, the Commanders selected Jordan McGee, the linebacker out of Temple. At pick 140, the Chargers selected Notre Dame cornerback Cam Hart. At pick 141, the Bills selected Georgia offensive lineman center Cedric Van Pranger. At pick 142, the Colts selected Oregon State wide receiver Anthony Gould. The Falcons at pick 143 took Notre Dame linebacker J.D. Bertrand. At pick 144, the Chicago Bears selected Kansas edge rusher Austin Booker. At pick 145, the Broncos selected Missouri cornerback Chris Abrams-Drain. At pick 146, the Titans selected Louisville cornerback Jarvis Brownlee Jr. And pick 147, the Broncos selected Notre Dame running back Audric Estime. So if we talk about things that stood out on this, I think Jordan McGee is the first one. Jordan McGee, a really interesting player. I think he could step in and earn a starting role in that Commanders linebacker depth chart. I don't think it's going to come immediately, maybe this year, but there's a lot to like about Jordan McGee's game. If he would have came off the board late round three, I wouldn't have been that surprised. I love the instincts and the play recognition, the athleticism, the movement skills, short area bursts and quickness. There is a lot to like about Jordan McGee's game. Cam Hart, I love the length, the athleticism, the ball skills, the play strength. I thought he could have been a round three pick. For him to fall to round five, I think they could find themselves potentially getting a starting cornerback down the line in Cam Hart. Cedric Van Prang-Ranger, I thought he could have went late round three or early round four and potentially developed into a starting interior lineman, so that was a good pick by Buffalo. Really tough physical player. Anthony Gould. Now listen, you look at the Colts depth chart at wide receiver. Obviously, Michael Pittman is the alpha. Josh Downs, fantastic slot receiver, loved him last year, had a good rookie season. They took A.D. Mitchell in round two, and now they come back and they get the burner, Anthony Gould, out of Oregon State. This is the guy, yeah, fantasy value, who knows, as a fourth wide receiver, but we're talking about a guy who's really going to bring a lot of tactical value, make defenses account for him when he's on the football field. It's going to open things up for Anthony Richardson to run. It's going to open up things for, you know, Josh Downs to work underneath. It's going to open things up for A.D. Mitchell and Michael Pittman if they're going four wide. So I really like the pick of Anthony Gould because he brings that elite trait, that elite calling card, his vertical speed. Austin Booker to the Bears. They needed an edge rusher in the worst way. You know, they didn't get one early in the draft. But you're talking about a guy who, if he would have went in the pick 75 to 100, people would have said it's a solid pick. So for the Bears to get him all the way at pick 144 in the fifth round, I thought it was a really good value pick there. What else? Audric Estime to the Broncos at pick 147. Listen, I think he's got a chance to be their backup, part of a, you know, maybe work his way to part of a committee. While I like Javonte Williams, I've never been all in on Javonte Williams. A lot of injuries and stuff in the back, you know, in his career. So listen, Estime is a guy that some people like a lot. I know he tested poorly, did a little bit better his pro day. I think he plays faster than that time speed, so he still liked him. You even saw his ability to get to the outside sometimes. So there's things to like about Esteme's game, but tough, physical, think like a Chris Carson type player. And then, you know, if we take this to the next 12 or 13 picks in round five, the Vegas Raiders selected Tommy Eichenberg, the linebacker of Ohio State. At pick 149, the Bengals selected TCU corner Josh Newton. At pick 150, the Saints selected South Carolina quarterback Spencer Rattler. At pick 151, the Colts selected Missouri safety Jalen Carlies. At pick 152, Eagles break my heart, select Texas A&M wide receiver Aeneas Smith. At pick 153, the Jaguars select Ole Miss cornerback Deontay Prince. At pick 154, the Rams select Washington State edge rusher Brandon Jackson. Eagles do it again. At pick 155, take Clemson linebacker Jeremiah Trotter. At pick 156, the Browns select Louisville wide receiver Jamari Brash. At pick 157, the Panthers select Washington State cornerback Charlie Smith-Wade. At pick 158, the Dolphins select Colorado State edge rusher Muhammad Kamara. At pick 159, the Chiefs select Penn State center Hunter Norzad. Let's kind of stop there, and then we'll round out round five in the next one. So, things that stand out in this group of players. We got to start with Spencer Rattler. A lot of buzz that he was going to go in day two. Obviously, no one pulled the trigger on day two. No one pulled the trigger in round four. He ends up coming off the board here. I think it's an interesting landing spot. You know, Rattler is one of those guys who got really good arm talent. I think he plays with better mobility and quickness than maybe a 40 time shows. Once upon a time, people thought this guy could be a top five pick in the NFL draft. A lot has happened since then. But, you know, listen, Derek Carr is who he is. I like Spencer Rattler's upside way more than their developmental quarterback they took last year in Jake Haener. So I think Rattler's got a chance here down the line, you know, if he can at least earn that backup job and then see what happens from there. The Eagles taking Anaya Smith, I mean, and we'll get to Johnny Wilson later, but Anaya Smith has been one of my guys. I've been talking about him for a long time. You know, I think he's a way better route runner than people give him credit for, and you combine that route running ability to his elite movement skills, his contact balance, his ability to pick up, his dynamic yak ability. There's so much to like about Anaya Smith's game. And let's be honest, besides A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith, they don't have another receiver that's really a significant part of that offense. So I think there's a real chance Anaya Smith gets a chance to earn some reps early and be utilized in a variety of ways. Then you take into account his return ability, the ability to do things like jet sweeps. I love the pick from the Eagles. A couple of picks later, they go back, you know, the lineage pick there with Jeremiah Trotter Jr., playing where his dad, you know, is a star. Listen, I know the athleticism is something that's questionable, but the urgency that Jeremiah Trotter plays, Jr., the play strength, the physicality, the play recognition, the instincts, I think he's going to eventually be a starting linebacker for them. Tremendous value in round five. If he would have went late round three, I don't think anybody would have said it was a reach. The Eagles, and in the meanwhile, the other thing the Eagles did in these couple rounds is they moved back multiple times and they picked up a third, fourth, and a fifth round pick next year as well. Masterclass job once again by Howie Roseman. It pains me to say as a Giants fan, but they continue to maneuver in a way that is far superior to most teams in the league, the way they manipulate the cap, and they're willing to push it further down the line to keep all their stars. Their movement that they have during the draft, picking up future picks, going up and getting their guys, picking up guys that are falling for a variety of reasons and taking a chance on them. It's a job well done by the Eagles. Jamari Brash, to me, is a very Darnell Mooney-like player, so the Browns add that to the mix. Their wide receiving core is a very interesting one with Cooper there, and then they traded for Jerry Jeudy, and they have Elijah Moore. Jamari Brash added to the mix there. I thought the Dolphins got a great value pick with Muhammad Kamara, the edge rusher. I thought he was going to go in round three. Most people had him on their, you know, top 100 big boards, so that was great value to get the pass rusher here. I think the Chiefs did it again. I think Hunter Norzad out of Penn State could develop into a starting interior offensive lineman in the future, so that was a really strong pick by them as well at pick 159. If we round out round five, at pick 160, the Bills took linebacker out of Washington, Ede Ulufosio. At pick 161, the Commanders select Washington safety Dominique Hampton. At pick 162, the Cardinals select Texas offensive tackle Christian Jones. At pick 163, Green Bay takes Duke center Jacob Monk. At pick 164, the Colts select Auburn safety Jalen Simpson. A little bit of a running back run here. At pick 165, the Ravens select Marshall running back Rasheen Ali. At pick 166, the Giants select Purdue running back Tyrone Tracy Jr. At pick 167, the Jaguars select Texas running back Kylan Robinson. I think he's going to be more just of a return guy. At pick 168, the Bills select Troy edge rusher Javon Solomon. At pick 169, the Packers select Oregon State safety Ketan Oladipo. At pick 170, the Saints select Pittsburgh wide receiver Bob Means. At 171, the Jets trade up and take Florida State quarterback Jordan Travis. At pick 172, the Eagles select Michigan interior offensive lineman Trevor Keegan. At pick 173, the Jets select South Dakota State running back Isaiah Davis. And at pick 174, the Cowboys select Wake Forest cornerback Kalen Carson. Pick 175, the Saints select Texas linebacker Jalen Ford. And then pick 176 to round out round five, the Jets select out of the CFL cornerback Quantez Stiggers. Bunch of guys that I got to really get into here. Let's start with the running backs. Rasheen Ali has been one of my guys most of this year. I love the three-down skill set. He got hurt at the Senior Bowl. I'm glad he ends up in a situation there. Yes, they went out and got Derrick Henry, but I like Rasheen Ali more than, you know, Keaton Mitchell. I like his receiving upside. I think he could step in and eventually earn a way to be the pass-catching back in that backfield. I think he could be a guy that I think if he wouldn't have gotten hurt at the Senior Bowl, he might have went a round earlier. He could have been a fourth-round running back. You know, this is a guy who's been really productive when healthy, and he's got that three-down skill set. He's got the athleticism and the quickness to make people miss. He's got the size and frame that he would stand the heavy workload. There's a lot to like about Rasheen Ali. But my favorite pick, the Giants. There was one guy at this point left in the entire draft that I really wanted, and I spoke it into existence on Twitter and said the Giants, they didn't bring him in for a visit. There were no connections to the Giants whatsoever in the pre-draft months, but they pulled the trigger on one of my favorite running backs in the class, Tyrone Tracy Jr. out of Purdue. A little bit of an older prospect, converted from wide receiver to running back. I was blown away with how good he looked at the running back position. Better in a gap run scheme than a zone, because I still think there's some indecisiveness and lack of natural run instincts as he develops. But the explosion, the acceleration, the burst, the speed, the size he plays with and still had that type, that level of explosion, a great pass catcher, obviously as a former wide receiver. I've said a lot. To me, if an NFL team is smart, you will use him. His deployment and his usage will be very much how the Saints used Alvin Kamara. Now listen, I get it. Alvin Kamara had a special, special elite trait in terms of his contact balance. Tyrone Tracy Jr. does not have that right now. But they didn't know that that Alvin Kamara had that when he was drafted. And they still utilized him in a way. Obviously, he's morphed into a much more complete back, Alvin Kamara. But there's a lot to like about Tyrone Tracy's game. So many people are intrigued by him. Connor Rogers had him as his fourth running back in the class. Greg Cosell was really high on him. Lance Zierlein was really high on him. I love the Tyrone Tracy pick for the Giants. I think he's going to quickly emerge into being the second part of that the running back room after Devin Singletary. And I think he's a guy that could eventually work his way to maybe even being their starting running back a year out from now, in a way that he would see 12, 13 touches, right? Like, if it's, you could think of the Antonio Gibson type usage and deployment as well, if you don't want to, you know, shoot for the moon and say deployment and usage similar to Alvin Kamara. So love the pick there by the Giants. Their first two picks on day three, Theo Johnson and Tyrone Tracy, were both home run grand slam type picks on guys that I thought could have went much earlier. I like the Jets pick of Jordan Travis. He's a guy I've talked a lot about. I compared him to last year's day three guys. I liked him more than Jaron Hall. I liked him more than Aiden O'Connell. I think if he doesn't get hurt and Florida State gets a chance to play in the playoffs, he might have elevated his stock even more if he wasn't hurt. So I think the Jets have been kind of connected to him a lot in the pre-draft months. They make sure they move up. They pull off a trade to make sure they go get him. Talked about Isaiah Davis before with the Jets. I question this. Why do you need Braylon Allen at the end of fourth? Isaiah Davis at the end of the fifth? Last year, Abakanda, and you have a franchise stud running back in Breece Hall. Just not enough room for all those guys. I thought Kalen Carson was a good pick by Dallas at pick 174. I think he's got a chance to develop into a top three corner on a depth chart. And I really like the Quantes Diggers pick by the Jets to end the round. The cornerback out of the CFL, I think he's got a chance. There's a lot to like about him, his size, his frame, his speed. It's length. There's a lot to like about Stigger's game, and I'm rooting for the kid. Hope he gets an opportunity as well. Next up, let's take this to round six. At pick 177, the Vikings select Walter Rouse, the offensive tackle out of Oklahoma. Steelers at 178 take Iowa defensive tackle Logan Lee. At pick 179, the Seahawks take offensive guard out of Utah, Satoa Lamoa. At pick 180, the Patriots select take South Carolina cornerback Marcellus Dial. At pick 181, the Chargers take Troy running back Kamani Vidal. At pick 182, the Titans select Tulane wide receiver Jaquan Jackson. At pick 183, the Giants select UCLA linebacker Darius Muto. At pick 184, the Dolphins select Virginia wide receiver Malik Washington. At pick 185, the Eagles select Florida State wide receiver Johnny Wilson. At pick 186, the Falcons select Alabama running back Chase McClellan. At pick 187, the Falcons select Illinois wide receiver Casey Washington. At pick 188, the Texans select Oregon linebacker Jamal Hill. At pick 189, the Lions select LSU defensive tackle Makai Wingo. At pick 190, the Eagles select NC State offensive guard Dylan McMahon. At pick 191, the Cardinals select UAB wide receiver Tayshaun Palmer. At pick 192, the Seahawks select Auburn corner DJ James. And at pick 193, I'll stop there for now, the Patriots select Tennessee quarterback Joe Milton. So a lot of names here to talk about. let's start Kamani Vidal. Listen, the Chargers running back room is wide open. Kamani Vidal is a guy who I could totally see Jim Harbaugh falling in love with. His toughness, his physicality, his the way he plays the game. He's a great pass protector. There's a lot to like about Kamani Vidal's game. And yeah, okay, it's a fifth round, so we're not going to count on a lot. But I think there's an opportunity to kind of work his way into a role there. I like the Jaquan Jackson pick by Tulane. You know, undersized, vertical, speed, slot, wide receiver. You could do a lot of different things with Jaquan Jackson out of Tulane. Malik Washington, I mean, the rich keep getting richer when you're talking about speed and explosiveness in that Miami offense. They already had Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Devin Achane, Raheem Mostert. They took Jalen Wright in round four. Then they come back and take Malik Washington in round five. Explosive, vertical slot, player, kick returner, separation ability, big play ability, yak ability. So much like about Malik Washington's game. He basically could be their new version of Braxton Berrios, but offer a lot more. Johnny Wilson to the Eagles, whether you're going to make him a tight end or keep him at wide receiver, it's a fantastic pick. There were a lot of people I respect that had him in their top 100. I didn't have him in my top 100, but I thought he was a guy that could come off the board early round four. I think he's very much like a Darren Waller clone, so I thought he was best if he converted to a tight end. But even at wide receiver, this guy could be a big slot. So I love the Ianias Smith pick for the Eagles. I equally love the Johnny Wilson. If they want their slot to be a bigger guy and a mismatch guy, it could be Johnny Wilson. If they want the speedster, the movable chess piece, it could be Ianias Smith. You can use both of them with Devonta Smith and A.J. Brown and have a really unique wide receiver situation to do a lot of different things. So I like Johnny Wilson. He's got to clean up some drops, but he moves really well for a guy his size. Obviously got great length, catch radius, ball skills, and body control. A lot to like about him. Mekhi Wingo at 189. If he would have went late round three, early round four, nobody would have said it was a bad pick. Just adds another interior disruptor to that Lions defensive line. He can get after the quarterback. He can be a disruptor in the backfield. And then DJ James, I thought he was going to go in the top 100. I know there's concerns about its size, but, you know, there's a lot to like about DJ James out of Auburn. Seahawks pick him up. He could be a guy that eventually develops into a guy who can play in sub packages. I think it was a great value pick there. And then Joe Milton, I made it be known, he was my favorite day for developmental pick. I thought Rattler was going to go, you know, day two. You know, obviously they drafted Drake May, so, you know, Milton's is going to maybe eventually be a backup. But he's one of those guys that if he was to put it together, he'd be a really interesting trade piece if teams saw some of that raw talent and raw skills, you know, look a little bit more refined in a preseason, say. You might be able to flip him if that ever materialized for a third-round pick or something like that. So it's an interesting developmental pick to kind of see how he develops, because he's got those rare, natural physical traits that are so impressive. If we take this over back to round six, pick 194, the Bengals select Tanner McLaughlin, the tight end out of Arizona, double dipping there a little bit. They took Eric All earlier, so McLaughlin adds to the mix there. Really good pass catcher, so it'd be interesting to kind of see Eric All in the fourth round, Tanner McLaughlin in the sixth round, how that kind of plays itself out. Pick 195, the Steelers select Texas cornerback Ryan Watts. Pick 196, the Rams select Clemson defensive tackle Tyler Davis. Pick 197, the Falcons select Georgia defensive lineman Zion Logue. Pick 198, Dolphins select California safety Patrick McMorris. Pick 199, the Saints select Northern Iowa defensive tackle Christian Boyd. Pick 200, the Panthers select Mississippi State defensive tackle Jaden Cremetti. Pick 201, the Colts select Marshall cornerback Micah Abraham. Pick 202, the Packers to like developmental offensive tackle out of Georgia State, Travis Glover. Pick 203, the Vikings select Alabama kicker Will Reichard. Pick 204, the Bills select UCF offensive tackle Tylan Grable. Pick 205, the Texans select Louisville running back Jawad Jordan out of Louisville. Pick 206, the Browns select Mississippi State linebacker Nathaniel Watson, a favorite of Mel Kiper, could have went round four. A good value pick here in round six. Pick 207, the Seahawks select Michael Jarrell out of Finlay, developmental offensive tackle. At pick 208, the Vegas Raiders select Dylan Lobb out of New Hampshire. I really like Dylan Lobb. You know, the Danny Woodhead comp seems, you know, easy, but he really is a explosive athlete with really good pass catching ability to be a weapon coming out of the backfield and be a really impactful third down type running back. I like Dylan Lobb's game and what he brings to the table. Pick 209, the Rams select kicker out of Stanford, Joshua Cardy. Pick 210, the Lions get a great value pick. Offensive guard out of Boston College, Christian Mahogany. I thought he could have went late round three, early round four, and potentially been an early starter. So for the Lions to get this kind of, you know, offensive guard at this late, I'm not sure why he fell as far as he did, but I think that they might have found the home run here, a guy who could late in round six potentially develop into a starter along the interior O-line. At pick 211, the Chiefs select Kamal Haddon, the cornerback out of Tennessee. I thought he was going to go a little bit earlier, round four, round five, so I thought it was a good value pick for the Chiefs. At 212, the Jaguars select Cam Little, the kicker out of Arkansas. At 213, the Rams select Texas wide receiver Jordan Whittington. At 214, the Bengals took Ole Miss edge rusher Cedric Johnson. At 215, the 49ers selected offensive guard out of USC, Jared Kingston. At pick 216, Cowboys take wide receiver out of Southeast Missouri State, Ryan Flournoy. At pick 217, the Rams select Bu Limmer, the center out of Arkansas. Pick 218, the Ravens select Devin Leary, the quarterback out of Kentucky. Pick 219, the Bills select Penn State cornerback Daquan Hardy. And pick 220, the Bucs select UTEP offensive guard Elijah Klein. Only guy I really want to harp on, I think, in that last group is Daquan Hardy. I don't even know if he's going to be used a lot as a corner, maybe a nickel corner, but he's got explosive return skills. And with the new kickoff rules, you're going to see him used, I think, in that role, and that's why he was drafted. So keep an eye on Daquan Hardy because you're going to see highlights of him making a big return, and you're going to remember he was the explosive DB from Penn State. They took late in round six, and that's why they probably circled a pick late in the draft that they wanted to get this kid to make him an explosive returner, especially with the new kick return rules. Take this to round seven. At 221, the Bills got round seven started by taking someone from the International Pathway Program, offensive lineman Travis Clayton. At pick 222, the Commanders selected edge rusher at Notre Dame, Javonte Jean-Baptiste. At 223, the Vegas Raiders selected Air Force safety Trey Taylor. At 224, the Bengals selected Ole Miss safety Dajon Anthony. At 225, really good value here. Chargers select Brendan Reich, son of Jerry Rice, USC wide receiver. Got size, frame, play strength, toughness, physicality, ball skills, body control. I'm stunned to see him fall all the way to the seventh round. Really good value pick there. 226, the Cardinals select Jaden Davis out of Miami, cornerback. 227, the Browns select South Dakota cornerback Miles Harden. At 228, the Ravens select Michigan State center Nick Samak. At 229, Pittsburgh selects cornerback MJ Davenshire. Pick 230, the Vikings select Wake Forest center Michael Juergens. 231, one of my favorite late round picks, the Patriots select Jaheim Bell out of Florida State. The tight end reminds me so much of Chigakonkwo. You can use him as a movable offensive chess piece, move tight end, H-back, slot wide receiver. I really like Jaheim Bell. I think it adds another little wrinkle to that Patriots offense as they try to give Drake May some weapons. I like that pick a lot. 232, the Vikings selected Levi Drake Rodriguez at a Texas A&M Commerce developmental defensive tackle. At pick 233, the Cowboys select Louisiana offensive tackle Nathan Thomas. Some people thought he might go round four or five, so it was a good value pick for the Cowboys. 234, the Colts select Jonah Lalu, defensive tackle out of Oklahoma. Pick 235, the Broncos select wide receiver out of Utah, Devon Vele. At pick 236, the Jaguars selected Texas Tech edge Miles Cole. At 237, the Bengals selected Miami center Matt Lee. Pick 238, Texans select USC edge rusher Solomon Bird. Pick 239, The Saints select Eastern Kentucky offensive tackle Josiah Ezeiram. Pick 240, the Panthers select Michael Barrett, linebacker out of Michigan. 241, Dolphins back at it again. Malik Washington wasn't enough. Jalen Wright wasn't enough. They go get Taj Washington, the wide receiver out of USC, another vertical speedster, can do a lot after the catch, can win vertically down the field, can be another guy that really puts defenses in crisis with his speed and his game-breaking ability. At 242, Titans select James Williams out of Miami. I like his versatility. He can be a linebacker, safety, hybrid type. It'd be interesting to see how they use him there in Tennessee, but I like his versatility. At 243, the Bengals select Jawan Briggs, defensive tackle out of Cincinnati. 244, the Cowboys select Auburn defense tackle Justin Rogers. 245, the Packers select quarterback out of Tulane, Michael Pratt. I think he has a chance to develop down the line, start out as a practice squad, third string. Maybe he can eventually work his way to be the backup there to Jordan Love. 246, the Bucs select Washington tight end Devin Culp. He tested unbelievable. He cannot do any regular tight end duties, but he could be a move tight end type that has really good high-level athleticism, but you got to know how to utilize him at the next level. 247, the Texans select Marcus Harris, defensive tackle out of Auburn. 248, the Chiefs select C.J. Hansen, offensive guard out of Holy Cross. 249, the Texans select Ladarius Henderson, offensive tackle out of Michigan. So many Michigan players take him. 250, the Ravens select Sanusi Kane, safety out of Purdue. 251, the 49ers selected Florida State linebacker Tatum Bethune. 252, another Michigan player, tight end select, edge rusher out of Michigan, Jalen Harrell. 253, the Chargers select another Michigan guy, wide receiver Cornelius Johnson. 254, the Rams select Kansas State offensive guard KT Leviston. 255, the Packers selected Kalon King, cornerback out of Penn State. Once upon a time, looked at as maybe a first or second round pick. Really had a rough year this year, falls all the way to the end of the draft. 256, the Broncos take South Carolina center Nick Gargiulo. And the last pick of the draft, Mr. Irrelevant, the Jets select safety out of Alabama, Jalen Key. So there it is, guys. Thoughts on many of the prospects from day three of the NFL draft. Guys, I just want to say how much of a joy it's been interacting with people. I saw some people left some messages who are watching right now live on YouTube. Thanks for the messages. Thanks for the support. Guys, I love seeing the interactions. I know a lot of people have Dynasty Rookie Drafts coming up. Do not hesitate to reach out to me. Ask me questions on Twitter. You are not bothering me. I enjoy the interaction. I enjoy sharing my thoughts, which is just what my take would be. If I was in your position picking, it doesn't make it 100% right, but you can bounce ideas off me. You can ask me what I would do. I like answering questions like that, so do not hesitate to reach out. Huge thanks to our sound tech engineer, David Nakano, banging out these podcasts every single night. After I tell him I record him, and his ability to turn him into a podcast for me, so I can get him out on your podcast streams as well. But another NFL draft, guys, in the books. We're not done yet in terms of draft weekend coverage. I will record another podcast within the next 24 hours or so, sharing my initial Dynasty rookie rankings. They will change a lot. So my podcast, we'll give my initial ranks, putting everything together, but I will constantly be, tweeting out my changes, my adjustments. Obviously, if you get the rankings notebook, you'll see it in real time. You could always have access to it. But if I make big changes compared to what I do what I talk about on the podcast, I will let people on Twitter know, so you can follow me there as well. So, on behalf of our sound tech engineer, David Nakano, and myself, thank you for joining us, and we look forward next time taking you from Saturday to Sunday.